We are looking at the Apostles' Creed in the next number of weeks, and we want to look through that because it is important that we understand doctrine. We understand that our faith is rooted and grounded in the Scriptures. The Apostles' Creed was written way back, the first writing of it was found in 390 A.D., but before that, the church was reciting it or something similar to that because they felt it was important for people to understand what we believe. You don't just receive Christ as your Savior and then believe whatever you want to believe. You believe the Word of God. And so the Apostles' Creed is an attempt to summarize the beliefs of our Christian faith. It is not everything. Some centuries later, they were having discussions about the deity of Christ and the Trinity, and they had to go back to the books and redefine the Apostles' Creed, and it's called the Nicene Creed, which has more details to it. So certainly the Apostles' Creed does not contain all of the things that we believe, but it contains those basic truths of the Christian faith. And so we want to look at these seriatim, one at a time. Last week we looked at the words, I believe, and what that means to believe in the Lord, to believe in the Lord. This week we are looking at the first phrase, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And I know you've already recited it, but recite it with me again, just that first phrase. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Now I want you to do it again. This time I want you to look up here, you don't need to look anywhere else, and say it like you're telling God. And say it with all the meaning that you can gusto. I wish I had a video up here. I could video you doing that, okay? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. That's what the affirmation should be. It should be enthusiastic. This is what I believe. I stand on it. I can do no other. We're going to look at this in detail, and I trust that you have the notes that are in front of you, and you can use those to continue your study outside this period of time. I'm going to give you several verses of Scripture. I'm going to read a larger portion in just a few moments, but I want to give you several Scriptures that just kind of push us in that right direction. First of all, Psalm 14:1 says this, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And then all the way into the New Testament in James, James says, the devils believe and tremble. Even devils believe in God. So this affirmation of faith is nothing more than what devils can give if it's just on the surface. But the meaning behind it is not just that we believe in God, but we believe God. We trust Him. And I hope that's your testimony today as well. A survey has been done, many surveys and many different organizations, but the Pew Foundation has done the greatest research on Christianity and what people believe today. And they found some startling statistics that I wanted to share with you. They found in Western Europe, that is in Europe as we know it, only 27% of the people believe in God. Think of that for a moment. Only 27% of the people surveyed say they believe in God. Now we come to the United States of America and they did the survey with our own people and they found it's much more encouraging that people do believe in God. 94% say they hold that God knows everything. 86% said God has the power to direct and change anything. 70% say that God determines most of what happens in our lives. And 40% say that God talks to them. Now it's interesting to note that as they did this survey, they do it every several years. They did it in 2007 and again in 2014, and they were startled by the difference in the results. The results were that a vast percentage had dipped downward into not believing in God. As a matter of fact, 16% of Americans between 18 and 29 years of age say that they believe in no God and no higher power. And the percentage of that is startling because we are living in what we call a Christian nation. And I thought particularly interesting was the political side of this. I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat, so I'm not saying anything about that. But they did a survey of Republicans and Democrats, and they found Republicans are far more likely, 70% of them say they believe in God, the God of the Bible. Democrats say only 45% of them believe in the God of the Bible. And only one-third of white Democrats believe in the biblical God. 21% do not believe in any higher power of any kind. That's just a snapshot of our culture today. We are moving away from belief in God and a belief in nothing at all. We are moving away from a foundation in the truths of God's Word to a foundation in our own opinions and our own wills and our own intellects. And so we need to affirm the fact that we believe in God. And as we look at these passages, it's important for us to recognize that God wants us to believe in Him. I want to read several scriptures to you that help us to look at believing in God. First of all, do you believe in God?
Yes.
Thank you. Somebody said yes. That's an amazing thing. Do you believe in God?
Yes.
All right. A lot of people say they believe in God, but as the survey was taken, they said, what do you believe about God? They found that many people, although they believe in God, do not believe in the God of the Bible. They invent things about God. And that's not biblical. It's not a foundation for our lives. So most people say, of course I believe in God, but the question is not do you believe in God, but do you believe God? You believe He exists. The devil believes that. As a matter of fact, the Pew survey surveyed 100% of the demons, and 100% of demons said they believed in God. It doesn't make a bit of difference for them. They're not going to heaven because they believe in God. The question is, do you believe God? Do you respond to Him? The scriptures are found, first of all, in Psalm 19. Psalm 19 speaks of creation and the evidence of God's existence. Psalm 19, verses 1 to 6. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. Their words are God created and shows Himself in creation. Then we turn to the New Testament in Romans chapter 1, where Paul talks about creation and the rejection of God as creator. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. But God shows His anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because He has made it obvious to them. Psalm 19, it's obvious in creation. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. And through everything God made, they can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they began to think of foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result of their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, instead they became fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious and ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things in their hearts that their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator Himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. May the Lord bless His Word as we've read it together. Do you believe in God? The question is not, do you believe God exists? For devils believe God exists. Believing God exists does not save you. It's certainly encouraging that a number of people in the United States of America believe that God exists, but that is not saving faith. Saving faith is when you believe God, not just in Him, but you believe what He said about Himself. You believe that He is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. You believe that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. You believe that God has a place called heaven and a place called hell, and He's destined men to go to either place, but the choice is theirs. Do you believe in God? Do you believe God? That is the question. The second question is, what do you believe about God? That's important. As a matter of fact, many years ago, J.B. Phillips wrote a little book called Your God is Too Small. In that, probably back in the 1960s, he was describing what people thought about God. And he said, many people believe that God is just a great policeman in the sky, or he is the judge, or he is an absent parent, or the man upstairs, or the puppet master controlling everything. And he says, your God is too small. God is way beyond that. The problem today with the church is that we don't know about God. We don't talk about God. We don't think about God. We refer to Him, but we do not study Him. Charles Spurgeon, that great preacher from long ago, had this to say about the church and our need for knowing and studying about God. He said, nothing will so enlarge the intellect, nothing so magnify the whole soul of man as the devout, earnest, continued investigation of the great subject of God. The most excellent study for expanding the soul is the science of Christ and Him crucified and the knowledge of the Godhead in the glorious Trinity. The proper study of the Christian is the Godhead. The highest science, the loftiest speculation, the mightiest philosophy which can engage the attention of the child of God is the name, the nature, the person, and the doings, and the existence of the great God he calls his Father. It is a subject so vast that all our thoughts are lost in its immensity, so deep that our pride is drowned in its infinity. So he says we as God's people should be studying God. We should be examining God. We should be thinking about God. And yet the truth is many of us don't think about God at all, except on Sunday morning if we go to church at all. What do you believe about God is important. R.C. Sproul says it this way, what you believe about God is more important than that you believe God exists. A.W. Tozer says, what you believe about God defines you. What you believe about God defines you. And then the great theologian Dallas Willard says this. He said, if your God is mean, angry, judgmental, moody, vacillating, aloof, silent, cruel, hard to please, and impossible to love, then you've got the wrong God. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34 is God Himself defining who He is for all of us to know. You don't know God just by the evidence of things around you. You know God by His own revelation. This is called self-revelation. Moses went up to the mountain and God said, I'm going to show myself to you. And Moses said, I want to see your glory. That means I want to see all of you. I want to know you. And so God says, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock and then I'm going to pass by. And my greatness is so great that I can't pass by in my fullness, but I'm going to show you just my backside. And when God walked through, Moses saw just the backside of God. And here's what the Lord said out of that bright, shining revelation. He said, as He passed in front of Moses, He proclaimed, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness and rebellion of sin. And He goes on to describe all of His characteristics. I have done a study of that and found that there are 10 characteristics that God reveals about Himself. Listen to these 10. Write them down. It's important for us to know who God is, not just that He exists. He is faithful. He is good. He is gracious. He is loving. He is forgiving. He is merciful. He is patient. He is true. He is just, and finally, He is zealous over you. That means He loves you so much that He'd do anything to bring you to salvation. That's who God is. And so often we think of God as the judge up in the heavens, and somehow He's that old man with a long beard, and He looks down on earth, and once in a while He sticks His hands in and messes with things. But that's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is intimately involved in your life and my life. The question is, what do you believe about God? Who is He? Is He Allah? Is He Buddha? Is He Muhammad? Is He Baal? Or is He unknowable? I am shocked today that I hear some Christian teachers telling us that Allah of the Muslims is the same as Jehovah in the Bible. And it's not true, because the Allah that Muhammad worshipped was a completely different God, different attitudes, mean, ornery, cantankerous, and not the God of the Bible. We love the God of the Bible because He revealed Himself to us as loving, forgiving, merciful, patient, true, and just. That is God. When Jesus walked around Jerusalem, He had to pass through an area called Samaria. And Samaria was a part of the culture where they had their own temple. They built their own temple because they were conquered by the Assyrians. And the Assyrians said, let's take all the people out of Israel, all the people of that northern tribe, and let's send them away. And they took most of them out. And then they sent their own people in to replant or transplant their own religions within Samaria. And it didn't work very well for a while. And then the king of Assyria said, let's send people down to investigate what they believe in. And they found out they believed in Jehovah. They believed in the temple that was in Jerusalem. So they said, let's build a temple. And Alexander the Great was one of those that said, let's allow them to build their temple. And they built a temple. The problem was, even though they identified that they believed in Jehovah God, they incorporated all the other religions that assimilated around them. They incorporated all that into their worship. So when Jesus found the woman at the well and he told her everything, he said, you worship what you don't know. You don't know what you worship. He was saying, you worship a God of all kinds of varieties. You don't know truly who Jehovah is. And then the woman responded and said, I know that when Messiah comes, he'll show us all things and teach us all things. Jesus said, I am the one who is speaking to you. I am Messiah. You see, God wants us to know him through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way to know God. You can't know God just by looking at creation. You can know about him, you know he exists, but you can't know him intimately. Hebrews says that Jesus is the expressed image of God's person. He is the brightness of God's glory. He is the exact representation of God so that we might know who God is. We know God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an important principle for us to understand. The third thing I want us to see this morning is the question of how do you demonstrate your belief in God in today's world? How do you demonstrate your belief in God in this world? Now, our world believes in a lot of things, don't we? Some of us teach our children that there's a Santa Claus. I wonder how you wrestle with that when the children become of age and start to question it. And then they say, what about God? Is he fake as well? Is he fiction? But we believe in crazy things like we believe in Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny or the Tooth Fairy or luck or karma. And we believe in things that are natural. We believe in science. We believe in doctors. We believe in UFOs and we believe in stealers. All those things we say we believe in, but that's not the belief of the Bible. The belief of the Bible is staking your life on it, holding onto it and not letting it go. And that kind of belief changes us. Hebrews 10:39 says, we are not like those who drift away from the truth, but those who anchor our soul to the saving of our souls. That is, saving faith is clinging to God, clinging to His salvation through Jesus Christ, and not turning to other gods or other opinions about God. Hebrews 11:6 says it this way, without faith it is impossible to please Him, please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists. That's the first step. And that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. God says the demonstration of your faith in God needs to be visible in your daily life. So let me ask you a number of questions here. 12 questions I think are significant for all of us. Do you trust God in your daily life? Do you think about God daily? Do you obey God? Do you serve God? Do you love God? Do you talk to God? Do you worship God? Do you praise God? Do you thank God? Do you listen to God? Do you fear God? And do you long to meet Him? Those are questions we need to ask in our daily life because our daily life needs to be affected by our knowledge of God, our understanding of God, and our love of God. When we love the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, He becomes part of our lives and we can't help but think of Him every day. When you get up in the morning, what's the first thing you think about? When I grew up, the first thing I thought about when I got up in the morning was going to the bathroom. The second thing I thought about was having my cereal for breakfast. That was the thing that I thought about. Today, I can honestly say, when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I think about is the Lord. I think of Him and how I can please Him. I think of His Word. And often He puts a song in my heart. Marilyn was sharing that this morning, how grumpy I used to be. I'm glad she said used to be, because I can become very critical because I'm a perfectionist. Everything has to be right. I can walk into a room. I can see everything that's wrong. I can see the dust on the chandeliers. I can see cobwebs in the corner. I can see things that are crooked and I need to be fixed. I don't look for those things to condemn them. I don't look for those things to criticize. I just see them because I'm a perfectionist. Some of you are perfectionists too, and perfectionists tend to be negative and they tend to be critical of the world and everything around it. But when God got a hold of my heart and deepened my walk with the Lord, He put a song in my heart. He put a song in my heart. Instead of the complaining spirit and looking at imperfections of the world, I still see them, but I don't say anything about it because Marilyn will criticize me. I sing a song because my love is not of this world. My love is of Him who died for me, Jesus Christ, who came to save me from my sins. For many Christians, there's very little in their life that would evidence that they believe in God in the proper way. That they believe God, they follow God, they love God, they serve God, they worship God. As we read these truths that we're affirming today, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. There are four things I see, and I'll conclude with these four things. When I read that, I think there ought to be a therefore after that phrase. There ought to be a therefore after every phrase in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Therefore, there ought to be a consequence that because I believe, my demonstration of my belief is number one, I believe in God, therefore I worship Him. He's God, and I worship Him. And the second thing is I believe in God the Father, therefore I pray to Him as my Heavenly Father. I pray every day. And then third, I believe in God Almighty. Therefore, my times are in His hands and He can do anything I can ask and He will answer my prayers. And the fourth thing is I believe that He made all things. Therefore, He holds all life together. He makes sense out of this world. That's what it means to believe in the Maker, the Creator of all things. He created me for His glory. He created me to be with Him in heaven. The first question in the Westminster Catechism is what is the chief end of man? Think about that for a moment. What is the chief end of man? To have fun? To watch football games? To play golf? To cook? Or to farm? Or to harvest? What is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and love Him forever. Do we do that? You see, God, when we believe Him, comes and He makes sense out of this world. We are born, we live our lives, and we die. And you look around you and say, well, what's the sense of all this? Everybody lives, everybody dies. You're born, you go to school, and then you graduate. Maybe you go to college, and you get married, and then you have children, and then you get older, and your children get married, and you kind of get put aside, and eventually you get old, and you become all decrepit, and your back aches and your everything falls apart on you and you die. Someone has asked, is that all there is? There was a song back in the 60s written by several composers, and Peggy Lee in 1969 sang it and it became a hit song. I want to read you the words of that song because it is so powerful in the negativity of our world. It's called, Is That All There Is? I remember when I was a little girl, our house caught on fire. I never forgot the look on my father's face as he gathered me up in his arms and raced through the burning building out onto the pavement. I stood there shivering in my pajamas and watched the whole world go up in flames. And when it was all over, I said to myself, Is that all there is to fire? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, friends, then let's keep on dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball, if that's all there is. And when I was 12 years old, my daddy took me to the circus, the greatest show on earth. There were clowns and elephants and dancing bears and a beautiful lady in pink. and pink tights flew high above our heads. And as I sat there watching, I had the feeling that something was missing. I don't know what it was. But when it was all over, I said to myself, is that all there is to the circus? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, friends, then let's keep on dancing. Let's break out the booze and let's have a ball. If that's all there is. Then I fell in love with the most wonderful boy in the world. We'd take long walks by the river and sit for hours and gaze at each other. We were so much in love. Then one day, he went away. And I thought I'd die, but I didn't. And when I didn't, I said to myself, is that all there is to love? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball. I know what you must be saying to yourselves. If that's the way she feels about it, why doesn't she just end it all? Oh, no, not me. I'm not ready for that final disappointment. Because I know, just as well as I'm standing here talking to you, that when that final moment comes, I'll be breathing my last breath. And I'll be saying to myself, is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friend, let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball. My friend, if that's all there is in this life, is to live and to love and to die, we are most people most miserable. There's more to life than just living. There's God who created you for Himself, and one day He will take you to be with Himself, either in glory or He will cast you out of His presence. But He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins so you didn't have to be cast out. He loved you so much that He sent His only Son to bear the pain of a crucifixion and then to die in your place. God paid the price of your salvation through His precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The question is, do you believe in God? Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? And do you believe in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? That's saving faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how bankrupt we are in our minds. Because we have lost the sense of who God is. We have believed the lie of the culture that we follow after things that give us pleasure. We've listened to the little ditties in Sesame Street that the most important thing in the whole wide world is you. Nothing else matters. We've listened to the songs of the world that appeal to us to have pleasures while we can. But Lord, You created us for Your pleasure. You created us in Your image. You created us that You might have fellowship with us and that we might be filled with all the fullness of what You created us to be. And yet we lost that when we sinned. Thank You that You sent the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior. You sent Him to die in our place so that whoever believes in Him, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes, trusts in Him, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I pray, Heavenly Father, that this morning our faith will be more than just the existence of God. Our faith will be to believe God and His great salvation. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn with me in your hymn books to our closing song, which is number 533. I believe in miracles. Let's stand together as we sing.
Seen the lily bush. push its way up through the stubborn soul. I believe in you, for I believe in God.
Verse 3.
The love of God, O power divine, is wonderful to see. The miracle within the heart of me. I believe in miracles. I've seen a soul set free. Miraculous the change in one redeemed through Calvary. I've seen the lily push its way up through the stubborn soil. I believe in miracles, for I believe in God.
Would you bow your hearts with me as we pray? Perhaps today you realize that your trust is not in God, your trust is in something else. Or perhaps you've realized that you don't believe God. You believe in Him, you know He exists, but you don't believe more than that. And today you'd like God to become real in your life. You'd like Jesus Christ to come into your heart and change you and give you a love for God that you've never had before. And you would ask the Lord Jesus to come in so that He can write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life so that when you die, you will know that there was a purpose greater than yourself that God desired to bring you into His heaven. Would you just pray right now, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me my sins, cleanse me, wash me, make me new, and live your life in me. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life so that I can be in heaven with you. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in peace today. Amen.